Let's pray together, family. Lord Jesus, we just want to pause right here and acknowledge. I feel a real burden, Lord, to acknowledge this is not simply tradition for us. Lord, we don't gather here just to light candles and sing songs, Lord. We gather here in this church today to declare Jesus Christ that you are on a throne, that you are real, that you rule and you reign. And we thank you, Lord, for coming into this world, taking on flesh, living the perfect life of obedience to the Father that we could never live. Going to that cross, laying down your life in love for us, sinners like us, that we might be saved, redeemed from sin by your grace, rising from the grave, defeating death, hell, the devil, pushing back the darkness, just like Pastor Brian said earlier, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We remember the words of the angels those 2,000 years ago that said, today I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, that today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are for us. And there are some people in this room who have tasted and seen that you're good. They've been redeemed, saved, delivered from sin, rescued forever. They're hidden with Christ in God, and nothing can snatch them out of your hand. And yet there are some in here today who have never turned from sin and never trusted in you, Jesus. And we would pray today that you would open up their eyes to see that there is no one like Jesus. And tonight we celebrate the fact that 2,000 years ago you came into this world, and yet we also look forward to the fact that you are coming back again. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank you for this evening tonight where we can celebrate the true, real, awesome meaning of Christmas. And I pray it all to the matchless name of Christ. Amen. Amen. You sit down, family. And hey, if you're new here, my name's Anson and I'm the lead pastor here. And just so you know, we're not going to go as long as we usually do on Sundays, because the kids all have glow sticks and we're like 5 minutes away from a rave. So we're gonna just do this thing and celebrate the meaning, the true meaning of Christmas tonight. And before we dive in, I just wanna share some scripture with you in just a second. Before we do that, I wanna tell you, I wanna confess to you as my church family that yesterday I made a huge, huge mistake, an enormous mistake, a mistake that I am committed to never making again in my life. And here's what I did. I made the mistake of going to Walmart on December the 23rd. Have you done this? Anybody made this mistake? Right? Anybody ever done? I know that you probably have, because the whole world was there yesterday, right? It was an absolute nightmare, man. I show up, you know, there's cars from like here to Jesus, right? The whole parking lot's full, and you walk into like this post-apocalyptic dystopian nightmare in there, right? Where there's kids crying, the parents are screaming at the crying kids, there's clothes all over the floor, you know, 50% of the people are coughing like they got Ebola, and you got cops outside with their stun guns in case somebody runs off with a $3 pair of socks. And the thing that I noticed that stuck out to me, man, is everybody in the joint was totally stressed out, like including me, right? I'll admit that. Everybody was stressed out. Everybody was on edge. It was like level 11 stress, right? I mean, for example, there was this, the nice people at Walmart, they put at the door the employees to ask to see your receipt on the way out, right? There's this nice gentleman stationed there, and I just bought my items. I'm walking out. There's a man in front of me with a buggy, and his buggy's full of like dog food, right? And I guess he's paid for it. And he's walking by the nice man who's working for Walmart, and the nice man smiles at the guy with the buggy and he says, "Pardon me, sir, can I please see your receipt?" And the guy instantly turned into a chihuahua, man. He was just like high strung, crazy. Started screaming and barking at the employee, like for no reason. All because he asked him, "Can I see your receipt?" The guy looked at him. Here's what he said. He looked at me and said, "I don't have to show you my receipt. This is America. This is America. What gives you the right to see my receipt? This is America." Getting all patriotic on him, man. I'm like, I must have missed that bill in the Bill of Rights. Right? The right to not verify your Alpo purchase at Walmart. Like, everybody's losing their minds, man. I don't know if you've noticed this. It seems like there's a lot of, it seems like we live in an age where there's a lot of stress, man. And in an age where there's a lot of stress, it also seems like this is a time of year where everybody is like even more stressed out. Maybe you're feeling that, man. Maybe you walked in here tonight, you're a little uptight, you're a little on edge. And so here's what I hope you'll do. And this is really the heart behind these candlelight services here at this church, is I hope that tonight, in the midst of all the insanity that can be this time of year, I would hope that tonight, particularly if you're a believer, particularly tonight if you're here and you love Jesus, man, and Christmas for you is more than just about, you know, gifts and even time with family and cinnamon rolls, but Christmas for you is about Jesus. Like I would hope that today, tonight, this evening, for the next few minutes, you can just take a deep breath. Matter of fact, just try to do that. Just take a deep breath. Exhale. And I just want you to rest for a minute. I want to remind you of the true, authentic, real, eternal meaning of Christmas. Because Christmas, I want to clarify something. Christmas is not just the moment where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Listen, it's actually more than that. Christmas is the moment where we celebrate the moment where the God of the universe sent his son, the second person of the Trinity, to take on flesh on a mission to rescue us from sin. It's good news of great joy. We're giving a glimpse of what this is in John chapter 1. I want to read this to you real quick, okay? John chapter 1, not the whole chapter, just the first five verses, okay? Don't stress out. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. We're talking about Jesus now. All things were made through him, through Jesus. And without him, Jesus was not anything made that was made. In him, Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. You see that? The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here, I want you to notice what John just did here. It's fascinating. It's really powerful, really important, okay? So back some years ago here at Emmaus, we preached verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Genesis. And it actually took 2.5 years because Genesis is a long book and we like to get long-winded, right? But we went through the book. Matter of fact, there's a lot of men and women in this church right now who this past year, you started Bible study in the book of Genesis, right? And if you've ever read the book of Genesis, hang with me. If you've ever read the book of Genesis, then maybe you remember that in the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this, it says, help me out, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the moment. This is the glorious, incredible moment. First page of the book, man, we get this incredible moment where God creates creation. He literally, man, he speaks the entire universe, worlds, stars, planet, all the stuff. He speaks all that stuff into existence. It's amazing. But I want you to notice what John just did, because John just backed up even before that. John just pulled the curtain up and he's like, let me tell you what happened before creation was created. Let me tell you what was going on before there was a creation, before Genesis 1:1. In other words, John chapter 1, verse 1 is saying, hey, look, I want to tell you what happened before there was a Mount Everest and before there was a Nile River. And I want to tell you what happened before there was a Mediterranean Sea or armadillos or red meat or anything like that. I want to tell you what happened before there was oxygen or water or molecules or atoms or protons or neutrons or electrons or boy bands or Chick-fil-A or any of the stuff that you're familiar with. I want to tell you what was for time and space and matter. And notice what he says here. He's according to John chapter 1, verse 1, before there was creation, did you catch it? There was Jesus. In eternity past, there's Jesus, right? Before creation was created, there's Jesus. Jesus, we're told, get this, follow this, Jesus was with God, and according to this verse, Jesus was God. You follow, right? Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He's with God and he was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And you're looking at me going, Pastor Anson, I don't understand that. I don't get that in my mind. How can Jesus be with God and how can Jesus be God himself? I don't understand. And here's the thing you got to know, family. You're not supposed to understand it. You're supposed to deal with it. It just is how it is. And your 3.5-pound brain and my 3.5-pound brain cannot even begin to conceive of this glorious mystery that we know as the Trinity, where there is one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-eternal, and they have all the same attributes, and yet there's one God. And this one God, on a mission of love, sends his Son, the second person of the Trinity, into this world to take on flesh for you and for me. And here's our boy John right out of the gate saying, listen, man, listen, I'm just like you. I don't really understand all the particulars of it. I just know all I'm telling you is that in the beginning, before there was anything, there was Jesus. Additionally, here's a really interesting thing. It's really interesting here that John says, he says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And that's fascinating because that word Word in the Greek is actually the word logos. And what's incredible about that is that word logos literally means an expression of God's divine wisdom and power. Think about it this way. God's like, I have something I want to say to sinful humanity. I have something that I want to say to all of these people who have chosen their way over my way and who are destined for destruction because they've chosen their way over my way. And so God, having something to say to the human race, you know what he gives us? Jesus. God has a message for you tonight, and that message is Jesus. God has something to say to you and me tonight, and that word is Jesus. God has wisdom and truth and insight to give every single one of us, and it's found in Jesus. Here's what this means, man. If you want to know what God's will for your life is, look to Jesus. If you want to know what wisdom and truth actually looks like in this world, look to Jesus. If you want to know what peace looks like, and if you want to know what it means to live a life that is meaningful and that is fruitful, you need to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, not a magic eight ball, not your inner self. Don't climb a mountain to go find yourself. Don't buy the latest self-help book by the motivational speaker that just put it out. Don't look at the fortune cookie or the horoscope or the culture passing out microphones to pop stars with good voices, telling us all how to break more of the Ten Commandments. Don't do all that. That's the problem, is we're looking for peace and security in all these other wrong places. And the Bible says, no, look to Jesus. God has a word for all of us, and it's Jesus. And can I just say, at the risk of offending everyone, because that's fun, Merry Christmas. At the risk of offending everyone in this room, can I just say this? The reason why Jesus Christ is far more qualified than Muhammad or Donald Trump or Joe Biden when it comes to dishing out wisdom and truth is because Jesus Christ is God. He's not a politician. He's not a celebrity. He's not just a religious leader. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And by definition, when you're God, that means you always know best. And so here we have Jesus, and he's come into the world on a mission to save us, to point, to be the light in a dark world. And by the way, I'm going to assume that not everybody in this room believes this, man. That would be foolish of me to assume that everybody in here loves Jesus, worships Jesus, follows Jesus, is all geeked out on Jesus. I get it. I know that in a service like this, man, a lot of you aren't followers of Christ. And if that's you, if you don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he really is a savior to all who believe, that he really did die on a cross and rise again from the grave, if you don't believe that, can I just say two things to you? Number one is this. I want you to hear this. First of all, I am really, 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 really stinking glad that you're here, and I hope you come back. You're welcome in this church. And I hope you come back starting this Sunday as we continue as a church to walk verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the Gospel of Luke every single week, getting a glimpse of who this Jesus is. I hope you'll come back. The second thing I want to say to you, if you're here tonight and you're like, I don't believe this. I don't believe that Jesus is God. I just came for the candles and for the Christmas gig. Listen, if that's you, can I just say this? If you don't believe this stuff, the second thing I want you to know is you got to understand this worldview that you have literally affects every single decision that you make. Here's what I mean. Look at verse 3. And I'm going to get some audience participation up in here. You ready? Verse 3 says this. It says, all things were made through him. On the count of three, everybody say all things. You ready? One, two, three. One more time. Say it. One, two, three. All things. I want you to get that. All things. All things. No, all things, just so you know, means all things, right? Time, space, air, oxygen, this stuff, matter, right? You, your heart, right? All things were made by Jesus. And as a Christian, listen, as a Christian, I want you to think about this. As a Christian, as one who's saved by grace, I actually believe what this verse says right here. I believe that Jesus Christ is a creator that created everything. He created everything. I totally believe it. That Jesus is God and he created it all. So scientists tell us, scientists and people with clipboards and pocket protectors tell us that there are about 100 billion stars in the typical galaxy. Not the universe, typical galaxy. Albert Einstein actually believed that with our largest telescopes, we've only actually seen 1/1,000,000,000 of theoretical space, which means in our universe right now, there are about, according to scientists, 10 octillion stars out there. You know how many 10 octillion is? That's a 10 with 27 zeros behind it. And I actually believe that Jesus Christ created every single one of those stars by his power. Scientists tell us that there are about 37.2 trillion cells in the average human body, each one working to keep us alive. And as a Christian, I believe that Jesus Christ created every single one of those cells. But here's the reality. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe that we're the result of a random explosion of a mysterious particle that happened some 13.77 billion years ago that we can't define, that we can't explain, but that's how it worked. And so here we are today, and we came from nothing, and therefore we're destined to die and become nothing. Now here's the consequence. Listen, here's the consequence of that. If that's what you believe tonight, that you came from nothing and you're destined to become nothing, then ultimately the entire point of your existence tonight is nothing. There's no point. There's no meaning to any of this, to your family, to your kids, to where we're at. There's no meaning. And see, just so you know, listen, this is what makes Christianity, this is what makes this stuff so radically different. Because as a Christian who's been saved by grace, get this, I believe John 1:3, which means I believe that Jesus Christ made me for a purpose, for a reason, that my life has value, dignity, and it has meaning behind it. I believe that when I die, I will go to be with Jesus in eternity forever. And therefore, beloved, I believe that the entire purpose of my life is to know Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to worship Jesus, to tell others about Jesus, to love Jesus, to grow in Jesus, and to make much of Jesus Christ. Here's my point. What you believe about where you came from will affect every single area of your life, every single day for the rest of your life. And so watch what John says at the end, and then we're gonna be done. In him, in Jesus was life. Verse 4, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's two powerful truths that John's telling us here. Don't miss this. Two powerful truths. The first truth is this. There's darkness in this world. I don't think anybody's going to debate that one. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you celebrate Festivus with the rest of us or what your deal is or gig. I don't care. I don't care who you are. Nobody's debating that one right there. You look at the news, you look at the world around us, it is clear something is not the way that it should be. Something's broken. Something's off, man. And this is what John's saying here. There's darkness in this world, but here's the difference between the atheist and the follower of Christ. The atheist who rejects God looks at how broken this world is and says, see, this world is broken. That's proof that there is no God. But the follower of Jesus, saved by grace, looks at a broken world and says, see, this world is broken. And that's proof of how much we need God. This broken world is not proof that God isn't real. This broken world is proof that we all desperately need this God. And that's why Christmas is such a big deal for us, family. Because listen, Christmas is the moment where we celebrate the fact that God, knowing how much we needed him, sent his only son to us. And so the last thing I want to say to you, and here's what John shows us in this verse. Listen, family, there is darkness in this world, but do not be discouraged, believer. You know why? Here's the truth. Jesus Christ is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness darkness has not overcome Jesus, and it won't. And so here we are, man, 2,000 years after the advent of Jesus, on the other side of the world, across the ocean from where it all happened, singing to Jesus, acknowledging Jesus, preaching about Jesus, lighting Christ candles in the name of Jesus, celebrating the fact that there is a God and he loves us so much that he sent his one and only son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So tonight we take this candle and we light it from the Christ candle, and these candles as they go, as the light spreads around the room, I want you to understand and consider this. It's not just tradition. It's not just a thing that we do that feels good. It's an incredibly symbolic gesture that for the past 2,000 years, the light of the gospel has against all odds advanced and spread around the world until the good news of Jesus finally eventually even got to you. Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you worship him? Do you follow him? Let's pray together. The band's going to come up. We're going to light these candles and stand to our feet and sing and worship Jesus as we end tonight, beloved. Lord, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for what Christmas is about. Thank you that we have the freedom tonight to gather in this place to make much of you. Thank you for what these candles represent, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light of the world. You are the Savior to all who trust in you. Pray for those tonight who are here, who know you and love you, that tonight we would be encouraged. Tonight we'd be reminded of the true meaning of why we celebrate Christmas as believers. This is more than just a holiday. This is a holy day. I pray for any in here who do not know you as their Savior, as their King, as their Redeemer, that tonight would be the night where you would open their eyes to see Jesus, that there is no one like you, that they would confess that they are a sinner, that they would trust in you as their Savior, that they would experience new life this Christmas. And I pray all these things through your matchless name, Lord. Amen.